Jesus takes it seriously when we commit to him. I'd be scared if Jesus said that to me. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So I say, it's a scary verse. I don't know how many of you are, no, probably not many, but even younger people might know the story Pygmalion, popularized as My Fair Lady. Anybody? Anybody? A couple of hands? Okay. Good thing that your entrance into heaven is not dependent on you knowing that story. It's a good story. This English girl who comes from the wrong side of the railway tracks and she's got this real heavy accent. And she meets up with a Professor Higgins, who's one of those hot potato type fellows, and he teaches English. And long story short, he takes on the challenge of getting her to speak proper English. Okay? He gets it right. But the acid test, there is this ball that is happening, this dance that's taking place, and at that dance is a master of not only language, but of discerning where people come from their language, from the way they speak. And he's been trying to get Liza Doolittle away from Henry Higgins all night, and eventually says, I let him have his chance with her. And he's analyzing what she does and all this kind of stuff. And that's kind of what this verse is all about. We want to be what Jesus wants us to be. And Jesus kind of reaches a point where he says, okay, I'm going to let you be tested. I'm going to let you be tested so that I can prove not only to Satan, but that I can prove to you that in fact you've made it, that I'm enough for you, that I'm strong enough for you, that what I've taught you is good enough for you. Satan wants to do this, by the way. That's what the verse says. And I'm going to let him sift you. The scary part of this verse says, and when you have turned back, that implies it's not going to go well the whole way. It implies there's going to be some serious falling. But that there's going to be a getting up and maybe a falling down and a getting up. But when you have finished falling and you've learned all your lessons, then I've got a real job for you. I want you to strengthen your brothers. It's like Jesus is saying, I trust in you. I believe what I've done with you is good enough. Now, go for it. Prove it. Prove it. It's going to be hard, but prove it. That's what that verse is all about. And of course, we've got the Olympics at the moment where we are seeing athletes proving themselves. Their coaches are saying to them, you've done enough. Now go there on the world stage and prove yourself. It's what's gone before. As far as this is concerned, it's what's gone before to get them to that point that I'm interested in. It's about Peter. It's a run through, it's a sprint through Peter's life. Peter, who had always been regarded as the leader, right from the beginning, he always had some qualities, but he wasn't always a suitable leader for what Jesus had in mind. And so Peter was like an athlete in training. And this is what we're going to see, some of his training to get him to the point where Jesus could say, Satan wants to sift you, and I'm going to let him. What went on before that? Now, Peter, we call him Peter as though that was his name. Well, it was, but it wasn't always his only name. His birth name was, in fact, Simon. But this is what happened when Jesus met Peter. Jesus said to him, you are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. Now, Cephas is a nickname that Jesus gave to Peter, and it simply means rock. Hey, but Rocky, that's your nickname. I'm calling you Rocky. And it's what we would call an aspirational name. In other words, it's a name which gives us a goal. It gives us something towards which to work. Peter, you're born with the name Simon, but I'm calling you Rock. It's an aspirational name. I want you to strive for that. One of the great baseball pitchers of all time was a skinny little guy named Oral Hershiser. Now, he had an amazingly fast arm that could throw accurately. But his temperament was wrong. He had all the raw materials, but his temperament was wrong. And for him to become a real champion, his temperament would have to change. So that skinny little guy, his coach gave him a nickname. Bulldog. Bulldog, you're going to be called Bulldog. And over the years, this aspirational name is exactly what Oral became. He became one of the most tenacious competitors who ever pitched a ball. Bulldog, I want you to be that, his coach said. Simon, young, impulsive, overeager, not exactly the kind of person that Jesus needed to build his church. Simon, you are Simon, you will be called Rock. Because that's what I need you to become, that's what you will become. And so, Simon is here. He has the name Rock, what he wants him to become. And Simon is like an athlete in training, gradually developing into the name that Jesus gave him to become Peter the Rock. Now, when we have our discussion time, I want you to think about a nickname which you think spells out what you would like to be. What is your aspiration for yourself? I want you to think about that. You see, if we aim at nothing, we're going to hit it every time. We've got to have something we're striving for. What nickname might give you something to strive for? We come to Jesus as we are, but Jesus will never leave us as we are. Like a divine coach working with an athlete, Jesus is going to train us to become what he wants us to be. Jesus took Peter as he was, with what he had, and developed him into what he wanted him to be. And as we look at Peter, we're going to start off looking at what Peter had. What did Peter come with? Well, Peter had inquisitiveness. He was always asking questions. Peter was one of those guys who needed to know stuff. Jesus has just said some really tricky stuff about forgiveness, and Peter couldn't believe his ears that this is what Jesus was saying about forgiveness. But instead of just sitting there, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to 7 times? He was interested. He wasn't just willing to accept things. He was inquisitive to know what was going on. And surely we can overcome any shyness that we have to ask questions. Surely we can learn not just to accept what we hear, but to be inquisitive enough to ask questions. And then there was a time Jesus was telling parables, and they were difficult parables to understand. No worries for Peter. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Peter knew he didn't know, but he was not too scared to ask. Maybe we have not been born naturally inquisitive, but we can learn, and it will help us if we learn to become inquisitive and ask questions. Not only was Peter inquisitive, we find that he had initiative. He had initiative. He may have asked questions, but when a question was asked, Peter didn't hang back in case he made a fool of himself with the wrong answer. He took the initiative. He was willing to answer the questions, like when Jesus asked them who the people say he was. And they discussed the various answers, and we preached on this the other night. And then Jesus said, what about you? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? And look who jumps in first. Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. took the initiative. He wasn't scared of making a fool of himself. And look at when Jesus, when he was arrested. Now, we know the story, I hope, and this probably, in fact, definitely wasn't Peter's finest hour. But the night that Jesus was arrested showed that Peter had initiative. There they come to arrest him, probably 100 battle-ready soldiers. And Peter drew his sword, and he leapt in and promptly cut off the ear of one of the servants. Now, there were all these soldiers, and I guess Peter wanted to cut off the head of a soldier. But this is what happens when an overzealous fisherman starts swinging a sword. He takes off the ear of a servant. Well, Jesus healed that ear and told Peter to put his sword away. Not his finest hour, but he was willing to take initiative. He was willing to become involved. Like when the disciples were in the storm on the boat, and then Jesus comes walking on the water. Lord, if it is you, Peter says, tell me to come onto the water. Come, Jesus said, and Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Peter wasn't one willing to just sit on the sidelines. He wanted to be involved. Another example of that is after Jesus' arrest, Jesus was taken to the home of the high priest. And while the other disciples stood around outside, Peter went in. He went in. He wasn't going to stand uninvolved. He went in. Yes, again, not Peter's finest hour. It's best remembered for the fact that he denied Jesus 3 times. But it shows that Peter was willing to be involved. He wasn't one who stood on the sidelines. Think about your inquisitiveness, your initiative, your involvement, and your willingness to grow in those areas. We'll talk about them just now. Inquisitive, initiative, involved. These are some of the raw materials with which Jesus had to work. And we too can give him those raw materials. Now, an athlete comes with what they have. The coach then exposes the athlete to different situations, which then allow the athlete to develop. And that's what Jesus did with Peter. And here are some of what Peter was exposed to. Now, I want to say that for an athlete, the things that they are expected to do, the tests to which they are exposed, are not always pleasant. Some of them are really painful, like the time after Jesus had asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter, in that great moment of insight from the Father, said, you are the Messiah. Jesus then says, now guys, I'm going to die shortly. And Peter, unbelievably, rebukes Jesus, the one he's just declared to be the Messiah. He rebukes Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to Peter. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. That's harsh, eh? That's painful. But Peter had to learn. We are always vulnerable to Satan, no matter what insight the Father has just given us. Then we come again to the night that Jesus was arrested. Jesus tells the disciples, you're all going to desert me. Peter, arrogant Peter, says, Jesus, though they all desert you, I will never, never desert you. Oh, Peter, says Jesus. Oh, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter did. And he went out and he wept bitterly. A painful lesson he had to learn. But it's because of these painful lessons through which Peter went that gave Jesus the opportunity to allow Peter to experience the meaning of grace. And there on that beach where Jesus had prepared breakfast for them, this must rank as one of Peter's most amazing moments, where Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Recommissioned him. Peter experienced grace, but because he had been to the bottom, he knew the meaning of that grace. He learnt it. He learnt it. Situations to which Jesus, like the divine coach, exposed Peter, the athlete in training. And it worked. The qualities that Peter developed, qualities like submission. Jesus, as the Son of God, here's an example, he was not obliged to pay temple tax. And they started questioning, how come Jesus doesn't pay temple tax? And so even though he wasn't required to pay it, because he was a Son of God, he says to Peter, go and throw the line in, catch a fish. He caught a fish, and in the fish's mouth was the coin to pay the temple tax. Why are we told that? Because he's proving, I am the Son of God, I don't have to pay temple tax. Now Peter, take that temple tax and pay the tax. He didn't have to, but he was willing to submit. And we need to learn to submit, even to things that we don't understand, even to things that might be harsh. We need to learn to submit. Therefore, Peter was able to write to suffering Christians and tell them, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority. We need to learn submission. Peter did. The Peter who cut off the servant's ear, this Peter had to learn restraint. It wasn't easy for Peter because he was such an impulsive person. And we see that by the way Jesus rebuked Peter. Do you know that poor old Peter was rebuked more than any other disciple? Peter had to learn restraint. And he did. Later, Peter would write, they hurled insults at him, but he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He learned restraint. He could write about restraint. He could encourage others in restraint. Peter learned the lesson. Peter had to learn humility. You see, leaders, and this is what Peter was becoming, leaders can easily think more of themselves than they ought because leaders are often self-confident people. Look at Peter. He had self-confidence. He asked questions. He answered them. He was willing to jump into the water. He was willing to go right into the temple court when Jesus was being tried. But Peter learned humility, and later he would be able to write, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself in humility to one another. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Peter learned the lesson, often in painful ways, of humility. Peter had to learn love. Jesus modeled love for them that night that his disciples, when they didn't want to do it, Jesus took off his outer garments, got the basin, and he got a jug of water, and he knelt at his disciples' feet, and he washed their feet. And in this way, we read, he showed the full extent of his love for them. Jesus modeled love when he went to the cross for all of them, and for you and me. Peter learned love, and later he could write, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Peter had to learn compassion. I mean, how can a leader, or anyone for that matter, function without compassion and understanding, a willingness to feel for those they lead? Peter learned it, because Peter experienced compassion from Jesus in spite of his failures. And Peter had to learn courage. Now surely you're going to say to me, Peter was already courageous. I mean, there he went in swinging his sword. No. He was impulsive. He acted before he thought. And there's a difference between impulsive and courageous. Peter had to learn to be courageous. Peter had to learn to go ahead and do things. Peter had to learn to carry on, even though he had counted the cost. He knew it was going to be hard. But he says, nevertheless, I'm going to do it. See, that's courage. Not impulsively swinging your sword. Courage is going ahead with something, even when you know it's going to be hard. Peter learned courage. At Pentecost, he preached a challenging message about Christ to the very people who had crucified him. And after Peter had been arrested with John, he could stand before the Sanhedrin, who said, "Don't speak in his name anymore." He stood and he said, "We cannot but speak about what we have seen or heard." You see, that wasn't impulsive. He had considered the cost, and nevertheless he was willing to stand with courage. And when it came time for Peter to die, when he was executed, he was going to be executed by crucifixion. He said, "I don't deserve to be executed like my Lord." And they crucified Peter upside down. Courage. He learned it. Simon, the impulsive fisherman, became Peter the apostle, rock-like. Apostleship, leadership, these were God's plans for Peter. But Jesus didn't choose a ready-made leader. He chose an ordinary, flawed fisherman. He took those raw materials and was able to develop Peter into someone extraordinary as Peter submitted his life to God. God has extraordinary plans for us. And I'm saying, let him, like a divine coach, develop us the way he did Peter. Let's let Peter have the last word. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that if we have the courage to submit ourselves to you, that we're going to be much better for it. But we also know that you will not spare the rocky places as you rub off the rough patches to make us like you want us to be. So help us now as we discuss this. In Jesus' name, amen.